So just so you all know what I'm doing right now, we have, hang on, stop recording. Okay, we're recording. We're recording in progress. Okay, so I have like this control panel on the website that shows me who's on the call, and I tell it to record, and I can mute people and control volume. It's a very high-tech thing, and I just had to get focused here. I'm a little disoriented, too, because I just got back from China 2 days ago, and I'm still on a really weird schedule, and I'm not sleeping correctly, and I think right now it's like midnight in China, and my body thinks that, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, let's see. We have 1 minute to go before the call officially starts. But, hey, I'm going to welcome you guys. Welcome, everybody. Hello.
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 All right. Hello. There we go. All right, cool. I'm really excited. Hello.
Hi, Maggie Martinez.
Hello, darling. All right. I am very excited that we're together, and it's 11 o'clock, so let's just officially start the call right now.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. So welcome, everybody. I want to welcome, before I forget, by the way, happy holidays to everybody. I mean, here it is. We just came off of Hanukkah, and we're going into Christmas, and I think we had Kiwanis Club or something. before I forget, I just want to wish everybody a very, very merry Christmas, happy holidays. What I'm going to do is all guests are muted. Guests press to raise their hand. Guests press to talk. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so gang, what I just did is I muted everybody because we have so many people on the call, and as you can tell, the noise is now gone. I'm going to tell you how you can ask me a question in a minute, but let's just spend 5 minutes to go over some of the logistics about the program. And first of all, again, happy holidays, everybody. I'm very excited to be here. As I said, I just got back from I was speaking to a real estate company in China, Beijing, China. They have over 100,000 agents in the whole country. And I spoke to their top 500 agents. And that was such an experience. They do things totally different in China than how we do it here in the States, and they were very interested in me helping them understand how we do things in the West here and how I can help their agents. And it feels like, you know, the commitment there is for me to help them transform the whole country of China, how they do business, because they have so many agents, they have that ability. And after my seminar I did for them, which is 4 hours, they actually want me to come back and actually rewrite their whole training program for their whole company. And so I'm pretty excited about that. I have mixed feelings because it's such a big commitment on my part. So I have to just make sure my family's on board with that before I actually commit to it. But anyway, it was an honor to be there, and I have more of an appreciation how we do things here in the United States. We are, you know, as I got to tell you something, as much as it may feel from time to time for yourself that you're disorganized or it's uncomfortable or, you know, how do you focus and what should you do in your real estate business, I got to tell you, we have our act together so much more than other parts of the world. So you're ahead of the game, believe it or not. It may not always feel that way. So let me go through some of the what we're doing here. First of all, I am recording the call, so I just want to point something out. If you ask me a question or if I role play or there's something that you want to listen to again, you should make a note on some kind of piece of paper somewhere what time it is in this call. So, for example, we are now 3 minutes into this recording, right? So if I, in 20 minutes, let's say I role play some dialogue and you want to listen to it again, write down 20 minutes. That way you don't have to listen to the whole 60-minute call. You can jump right to that spot that was helpful for you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I have everybody muted for anybody who's coming onto the call now. We have so many people. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. I'm going to tell you in just a moment how you can unmute yourself, which means that you'll be able to ask me a question. I'll give those instructions in a minute. Let's see. you know, the purpose of the calls every month, because we have some new power agents to the call, and I want to welcome all of the new power agents. Thanks so much for calling in. I know that this is probably a busy time for some of you and needing to go shopping or to go see Star Wars. So what we're going to do is this is a great opportunity. If there's any slow time of year, this is that time of year. And I do want to say something is that, you know, it's very possible for some of us to keep working up until the last minute when we're going to celebrate time with our family and the holidays. Christmas has always been a special time for me. I usually like to take a couple of weeks off to be present to the moment of what the holidays means. And so I want to share that with all of you, too, is make sure that you are taking that time to slow down. If there's any time to give yourself permission to slow down, now is that time, okay? And I think my advice between now and the first week in January is that you focus working on your business, not working in it. You know, there's probably a couple of things that you've been meaning to do all year. You know, it might be to clean your desk, or it might be to implement this new supports thing, or whether it's a CRM or whether it's Red X. Like, there might be something that you've been meaning to get to in your business that you've never been able to get to because you've always had this showing to do for a buyer, or you've had a listing appointment to get ready, or you had an open house to do. So if there was any time to stop listing and selling, that would be the next 2 weeks, in my opinion. The next 2 weeks, take those one or two things that you've been meaning to do all year to implement in your business. Do that along with making memories with your family. You know, I'm going to give an example of this. Yesterday, my son, you know, I had just gotten back from China. Today's Monday. I had just gotten back from China on Saturday morning. I had a commitment with my son, who is 19 years old, to go to the mall Sunday to go Christmas shopping to help him and get a couple of things for his girlfriend that he's absolutely in love with. And so, you know, we had such a great time, you know, him and I going to the mall, hanging out in the car, chatting, going to the mall and, you know, actually showing him how I shop because I'm a big shopper. And, you know, I said to him at the end of the day, I said, Michael, thanks for creating those memories with me, you know, spending that time. And he said, you know, he enjoyed creating a memory with me. I do believe that our lives is just an accumulation of memories that we create with the people who are important in our lives. So this is the opportunity during the holidays for you to create those memories with people that you care about. So make sure you create those memories. Now, with that said, let's get to work as far as our listing and selling stuff. There is a tremendous amount of emails that I've gotten this month on questions about your business. And it's probably because we have so many new power agents, too, that have joined us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mention your name. And when I mention your name, I'm going to ask you to take yourself off hold. Now, let me tell you how to do that. But 1 second. I just want to pull the first question here. The purpose of these calls is for me to, number one, is to go through the magazine. I want to say something logistically. When you guys sign up, you get a username and password into the website, thepowerprogram.com. Now, some people tell me that I never got my password or my username, and usually what happens is the membership site, the email server is different than our other email server. And sometimes the email for the username password goes into their junk folder. So I don't want to be technical with your teach you tech stuff, but there's a way to search your email server when you type in a keyword. So if you were to type in, let's say, Daryl, because that's probably unique, you probably don't have a lot of emails from Daryl, with two R's, D-A-R-R-Y-L, or if you type in the power program with no spaces, you might find that email. If you still don't, call my office, or there's a help chat on the website where you can chat with our support staff, and they will send you username and password. The reason why this is important is that every month we do a digital magazine, and this month's digital magazine, there's some great forms and checklists, a lot of stuff about buyers – I usually try to go through the magazine on each call every month, but because of the plethora of questions I've been emailed ahead of time, I may not get to the magazine this month. And therefore, I'm going to focus, because to me it's more important that I take care of you and coach you, so I'm going to address the questions first. If we have time, I'll go over the magazine. If not, look on your own. The second thing is our next call is going to be January 4th, okay? So January 4th is only about 2 weeks away. So it's we're going to be considering this month's magazine as a December-January issue. Also in the magazine, I had the opportunity to interview, we've become friends now, Ruben Gonzalez, who is the four-time Olympian. So he's participated in the Olympics, four Olympics in a row, which is actually a record, especially somebody of his age. And so we had a great conversation, a great interview that lasted about an hour. We transcribed that. It's there for you. So it's not real estate related, but it's definitely inspirational, and I was happy to share that with you. Okay. Now, with that said, let me tell you how you can unmute yourself. What you would do is on your keypad, and don't do it now. Only do it if you have a question. You'll hit star 7. Now, when you hit star 7, it'll take a delay, maybe 20 seconds, for you to be unmuted. So you may be saying, hello, hello, and I won't hear you, but just be patient. It takes about 20 seconds. Now, I do want Tammy Cook, if you're on the call, which I'm sure you are. Tammy, I want you to hit star 7 one time. Don't do it twice because it may mute you again. And because I want to talk to you. So, Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Tammy, thank you. All right, so everybody... So what I'm going to do is Tammy had sent me a question here, and I'm going to address this question with her and take some notes for yourself if it helps you. And every time somebody asks me a specific question, I try to make it also general where everybody can benefit from it. So, Tammy, I have your question here. Why don't you ask it again in your own words, and then I've got some advice for you. Go ahead, go.
I wanted to know, I have a young girl that wants to work for me as an assistant. However, she doesn't have any real estate experience or background.
Yeah.
I sold her a house, actually. We just closed on a house. And she was an awesome client. I mean, she shows all of the signs of being a really good assistant, but the part about it is just that she doesn't have any background.
All right, great question, Tammy.
It's a good idea to hire someone that doesn't have a background versus someone that does.
Yeah, so the question is it important to hire somebody who has real estate background or not? There's a couple of things, gang, about and Tammy, about hiring somebody. First of all, I have found that the best assistants are the ones that we weren't even looking to hire an assistant. Like, they just kind of fell into our lap, which is what this sounds like. So I feel very positive for you. Because it's some kind of universal law that, the assistant appears when the agent needs it, when they're ready. So I think this could be a very, very awesome thing for you. That's number one. Number two is it is not important whatsoever that they have a real estate background. One of the best and most important ingredients to a powerful assistant is that they believe in you and they believe in learning and they believe in the industry. So if you've got somebody that is really super excited, she's 21 years old is what you had said to me. So she's got that vim and, she's got that vim and vigor. She's got that youngness of, the thing about young people, and I can say this as a 50-year-old, and I think we can all agree, when we were young, we were so excited about the possibility of what life can be. And it's that commitment to possibility that actually – creates that learning mentality, that creates that enthusiasm. And so you've got something really awesome here. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, in hiring an assistant, you want to make sure that you hire an assistant. Everybody on this call, do not hire an assistant to do like your prospecting for you. That's one of the mistakes that some agents make. They say, I hate prospecting. Let me find somebody who can prospect for me. As I said to the owner in China, where we were having our meeting, you know, the fish stinks from the head down, you know, and if you're not good at prospecting, you're not going to hire somebody to prospect for you better than you. They'll probably be worse than you. So I'm just saying as a blanket thing, and that's not part of your question, Tammy, but for other people listening to the call, it's important that you don't hire somebody to replace your prospecting efforts. When you've mastered prospecting and you want to train somebody to now take over and duplicate your efforts and expand your business, that's different. Now, what I would do with this woman, Tammy, is I would focus on having her work on projects. So how you'll start to train her is actually give her project by project first. So have her manage a project. Let me give you, for example, some examples. You could put her in charge of, starting her part-time, is preparing for an open house. So you create a checklist, show her when you do a broker's open house, here's all the steps in putting that together, or a public open house. You know, the sign-in sheets, the signs, all of those things. So I would train her by project first. So after she's learned that project, then you teach her another project. Maybe it's updating your contact management software, getting things in order. Maybe it's helping you put your taxes together. Maybe it's follow-up calls to all your current listings. So I would think not be overwhelmed by creating a job description if trying to fill 40 hours. I would focus on thinking project-oriented versus job description-oriented. Does that make sense, what I said?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Did that help you at all, Tammy?
Absolutely. And that's pretty much what I was thinking. So we're right on the same train of thought here. Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Last couple of things on this is that two things. Number one is when you start training somebody to support you, your production will go down, so you have to be ready for that and don't get frustrated or upset. It's part of the process. You have 168 hours in a week, and, you know, some of that goes towards your family life, your personal life, and your business life. So, you know, if you put 55 hours a week in real estate and you're producing X amount of dollars, well, if you're going to invest 10 hours a week in training this person on these projects, well, that's 10 hours you're not doing generating business. So you will see a temporary drop in production, but it should only be temporary. The second thing I'll say is make sure you have weekly meetings. It's a great habit to get into, is that every week you set the tone. Here's what we're going to do the next 7 days. And then the last thing is consider the pay tying it to production. And that may not be right now, but be prepared. I would try and get her to accept the lowest possible hourly wage, and then that she's willing to work. And then as she starts to progress with you, start giving her bonuses for increase in production. Let's say you average, you know, one listing a month or two, whatever the number is. So let's say you average one listing a month and one sale a month. Well, that's two pieces of business. Anything over two, because you used to do that before you hired her, you would give her a piece of that. So for every extra listing, maybe you give her a $100 bonus, or every sale you give her a $100 bonus. The reason why that's good is that she may start prospecting for you because now she's part of your team, and the more listings you get or the more sales you get, the more it's going to impact her. So I would not start with that right away, but that would be a conversation later on, okay?
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Now, I don't know if you hit star 7 if it's going to put you back on mute. I think it will. So why don't you hit that again, star 7, and we'll see if it mutes you. If not, I can do it from here. While she's doing that, is Rachel Roberts on the phone? And, Rachel, if you are, please hit star 7 on your keypad one time, and that will unmute you. And I'll wait to see if you respond. Rachel Roberts, are you on the call?
Yeah, Rachel Roberts from.
Oh, you're on the call. Okay, great. There you are. Where are you from, Rachel, by the way?
Jacksonville, Florida.
All right. So, Rachel, why don't you ask me your question? And well, we've got a lot of Florida people on the call today. I'm just seeing this. And I see some California and some Hawaii people. Thank you guys for calling in on a weird hour for you and getting up early. Thank you. So, Rachel, what's your questions? Go ahead.
Okay, well,
one of many, but the first of which I am showing tomorrow to a couple that have been living in a rental property they had considered buying as well. I've put in three different offers on three different properties. They want to continue to think that it's a buyer's market. I keep explaining to them that times are a-changing and interest rates are going up. I don't know how to get them to be smart about things. I don't know what
Now, Rachel, you actually, you are awesome because you had three questions and let me just see. Hang on what the other question was. Don't ask me yet. I want to read it one way across more. Let me summarize these because they're all kind of the same answer. So you also said, correct me if I'm wrong, you have another couple looking to buy, and they also think it's a buyer's market. They're waiting for a perfect house. They put an offer in, but they lost the deal, and now they're frustrated and they want to now hold off till next year. Is that right?
Right.
And then you got a homeowner who's selling a condo. They want to rent it and sell it. It's very outdated, and they don't want to turn on the water so the water is off in the property while it's vacant. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. And is this your current listing or no? You're trying to list it.
Well, I have. She's going to list it. I have all the information together. She's a little crazy, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, if she's mentally, like, clinically crazy, you know, and I know we're not a doctor, but I know sometimes we've had clients where we know that there's something really off about them and they should see a doctor. You know, if you have somebody like that, you may want to consider not even taking that listing because it could be a nightmare for you. But, you know, the answer is the same for all of these three people. And everybody listening to the call, the bottom line is what Rachel has is she has some people who are really not committed to moving, whether it's to sell or to buy. So, Rachel, I'm going to give you let's talk about this first one here, that they think it's a buyer's market, right? And so they're putting in low offers. And this is a first-time buyer, is that correct? Because they're renting right now?
No, actually, they have gone through a foreclosure. I just got them. They're past the, 3 or 4 year deal, and so they've been out. They've been pre-approved. So their credit score has gone up. They don't qualify for the down payment assistance, the bond money. They make too much. But renting this house now for the last couple of years. So, of course, they're comfortable. You know, oh, my gosh, thinking about moving is a nightmare.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things is that when you have a buyer who's not pulling the trigger, they're kind of vacillating, they're looking for a great deal, gang, all of those things. The concept is you want to show them logically with using metaphors analogy why they need to pull the trigger. So for example, what I would be showing this buyer, the first buyer, that they got through the foreclosure, they're renting a house. I would sit down with them and show them, you know, first of all, the fact that they got through the foreclosure piece, that is really awesome that they took care of their financial well-being, because getting through something like that takes a lot to do emotionally, financially. So they got through it, and that's a great thing. Now they need to get back into real estate, and it's very possible that they may be a gun shy because they went through the foreclosure piece. That could be possible. I'm not sure because, you know, I don't know these people. You know these people, Rachel. But I would also show them. So you may have to coach them from a psychological standpoint. That's number one. Number two is I would show them what's happened over real estate in your market the last couple of years. Have the prices gone up? And, you know, if the prices have gone up, by them still not pulling the trigger, they're actually missing an opportunity, especially in Florida. All parts of Florida are doing so well. You know, they have an opportunity. If they get in now, that they're going to benefit from that. The third thing is I would show them the rental that they're in, the money that they're paying, they're losing that money. I mean, they're spending, let's say, $1,000 a month or whatever the number is. Well, that's $12,000 a year. And the question is, what return are they getting on $12,000 a year? And the answer is zero. Why? Because they're not owning that property. I'm assuming they're renting a house. Is that right, Rachel?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so here's what happened. So what they're doing is they're making that owner rich. And what you can do is show them. So maybe they get pissed off about it. You can say, all right, you've got this house that you're renting. It's worth maybe, you know, whatever the number is. Let's say it's worth $200,000. And let's pretend that the owner owns $200,000 mortgage on it. So they basically have no equity, just as an example. Well, first of all, at the end of 12 months, that owner has reduced the principal to $200 by, I don't know, maybe $195. So they made $5,000. That's number one. Number two is they're getting a tax benefit of the $12,000 rent. So that's probably saved them, if they're in a 30% tax bracket, they may have saved another $3,600. So we're pushing $10,000 that that owner has made on tax benefits and the reduction in principal. Plus, if the property has gone up, let's say conservatively 5% in 12 months, instead of 200, the property is actually worth 210. So there's another 10,000. So this homeowner has made $20,000, and this buyer helped make that 20 for them. What they've made is zero. As a matter of fact, not only did they make zero, they lost $12,000. So if your current buyer who's renting, if they own that home versus renting it, they actually would have made $30,000 this year in the rent that they're saving, the return on their the taxes, and the appreciation. Are you with me on this, Rachel?
Yes.
So I would have a financial conversation with the buyers that it's imperative they get the hell out of that rental as soon as possible and back into a regular house. That would be my conversation to motivate them. Did that help you, what I just said?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Now, as far as the other buyer, that's not that is they waited for a perfect house. They found the perfect house, and they put an offer in, but it was too low. They lost it. Same kind of conversation. You need to show them, well, I understand that it hurt you. You lost that house. And here's the thing. You can continue to be upset that you lost that house and keep putting in bad offers, or you need to get into real estate as quickly as possible. Let me give you an analogy here. So I bought Facebook when it first came out as an IPO, and I bought it at $36 a share. The last time I checked, it was trading at about $105 a share. Now, there have been – even my own accountant told me that when I bought Facebook, because I bought a lot when it first came out, he thought I made a mistake. Because when it came out, it surged, you know, and then it dropped. So, in other words, in the first 30 days, I lost money. Well, you know, here it is a few years later, and, you know, I did very well. Now, here's the point I'm trying to say, Rachel. Somebody might say, well, I missed my opportunity to buy Facebook stock, because if I had bought it at 35 and it's at 105, boy, I would have made a killing, so I guess it's too late. What I would say to somebody is, it's guaranteed, based on everything I know, I mean, they'd have to screw it up. There's no guarantee in stocks, just like there's no guarantee in real estate. But if somebody came to me and said, boy, I missed the opportunity, should I still buy Facebook stock? I would say you would be silly not to, because long term, that investment is going to give you a tremendous return. So even though you missed the first wave, there's going to be a second wave, and you should get in. So the same thing with this buyer. I would maybe use that Facebook analogy. You may have missed the first wave, you missed your first house, that ideal house that you wanted, but you're not going to now not buy the stock. You should get into real estate for a house that meets as close to your needs as soon as possible, because the more you lament, the more you wait, the more you get upset that you missed out, the price is going to continue to go up, and you're going to continue to lose money year in and year out and miss your dream home. You see, what happens when you get into real estate, right now you just got to get into a house so that that equity will compound itself for you. So maybe in 5 or 10 years, you have so much equity, the appreciation has gone up, and you'll be able to find that dream home at, because your money was growing getting in now. Does that make sense, Rachel?
Yes.
Okay. The last thing is you got this crazy condo seller. They have to be either committed to selling or not, and they have to trust you. If they don't trust you, and you're going to be your, you know, in show business, they have, actors have agents. They also have business managers. The job of the business manager is to manage the actor's business, you know, how they look, their PR, their interviews. You know, an agent's different from a manager. A manager manages the product, which is the agent. Your job as a listing agent is to be the real estate manager for a homeowner. Your job is to take their property, manage it. I don't mean manage it like, you know, have the lawn cut or have the – and I don't mean that. I mean to take the house and market it and manage it for them to be their representative of real estate. Now, if this – but in order for a manager to be effective, the homeowner has to trust their manager. They have to empower their manager. You know, we all have people in our life that we count on. You know, we may have a doctor, we may have an accountant, we have lawyers, we may have people in our personal life that handles the specific aspect of our lives. Now, that person is not going to be effective for you if you're questioning and not trusting them. So the first most important ingredient to any professional relationship is you have to trust the person who's managing your life for you. And because it's through the trust that empowers them to do their job. And if a homeowner does not trust their listing agent, their real estate manager, it makes for a very difficult relationship. So this crazy seller of this condo, I would first say, hey, listen, you either trust me or you don't. And if you trust me, I can help get your property sold and or rented for you. But as your manager, I'm going to give you certain advice, and you either have to trust me and listen to me or not. It's just like your doctor. If your doctor says, hey, if you trust me, here's my advice. You need to take Lipitor to lower your cholesterol. You need to stop smoking, whatever they tell you. And if you don't listen to your doctor, you can't complain when you get a heart attack or a stroke. And the same is true here, Mr. Masana. If you trust me, I'm advising you to turn the water on, and here's my price, and here's what I'm going to do to sell the property. Rachel, did I cover all your questions for you, hon?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, hon. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. I'm going to mute you. I just muted you. Thank you so much. Now, we've got Constance, Connie. Connie, you asked the question. Connie, you're going to hit *7 on your keypad to unmute yourself. So *7, and give it about 10 seconds for it to happen if you're on the call. So it's *7 just once, and I'll be able to hear you. By the way, gang, if you have questions while I'm having these conversations, I want you to write it down. I'm going to open up the whole call to everybody in just a minute. So, Connie, are you on the call? Okay, so there it is. Connie, I see you. Connie, you there? Connie? No? Okay. So
Yes, I'm here.
Gang, here's what... Okay, there you are, Connie. Okay, so Connie, ask me your question quickly, and so I can get to the answer. Go ahead, hon.
I don't remember what the question was.
That's totally cool. Listen, what you did, Connie, and I love it, and everybody, the best way to get in the front of the queue, so to speak, is if you email me before the call a question have. And you did do that, Connie, November 18th. So you were really ahead of the game. Here's what you asked me, darling. You said there's a listing in your area that you'd like to give a try. It's currently at almost $1 million, and you wanted me to give you some advice to get that listing presentation. What was your question? I need to do it to get a listing presentation appointment. Now, is this still a question for you, or is this a lost opportunity here, hon?
No, this was a different Connie. I'm sorry. It wasn't me.
Oh, okay, Connie. All right. Well, Connie, that's okay. I'm glad you're on the call anyway. So, Connie, I'm going to mute you. And I'm going to mute you now, Connie. All right, so
that's a good one. All right,
so I'm going to answer that question. And Connie, I just muted you, but if you have another question later, if I get through these other ones, you can hit *7 again. So, all right. So here's Constance's question, which is also, she also signed as Connie. So she got this $1 million listing. How do you get it? Well, here's what I would say is that whenever you're doing high-end listings, the already listing of the homeowners, their house is special, they're unique, they expect supreme service. Now, the good thing about that is when you do analogies about wealth, stocks, like I did the Facebook one, or having a financial planner, having professionals in your life, you know, you can gang, listen to what I'm about to say. This is very powerful because I know some of you, you resist going on listing appointments on the higher end because it makes you feel uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. Those richer people or richer houses or higher-end properties, whatever, they're actually easier to get because they have a bigger ego. So if you can speak to their ego and, you know, have this confidence, like, I'm your boss, I'm going to manage this for you, almost like there's a little bit of arrogance on your part, confidence, fake it till you make it type of thing, that will help you tremendously more so than on the lower end in your marketplace. So what I would do is to get this listing is to tell them, show them a customized listing marketing plan. I like the alliteration, Seller Success System. I'll say that again, Seller Success System. And what I would do is I would go into a homeowner and tell them, listen, you know, we have at Power Realty a marketing plan that's specific for our VIP clients, which that would put you into that category because of the type of house that you have. It's called the Seller Success System. I like to come over and share it with you how it works. I understand you maybe you want to try and do this on your own or you have other people that you like to interview, and that's fine, but there's no obligation. It really works rather well. Can I come over at 6 or 7 be better? Then I literally would create a more glitzy, higher-end listing conversation. I would focus on things that you might not normally do, whether it's taking those, using those, what do they call those aerial, gosh, you just escaped me. I'm still in China time here. Those helicopters that you buy at Best Buy or something that there's concern about hitting airplanes and stuff, where you can take some aerial photos, having some video, having a nicer brochure. So anything that would be a higher end where you're going to spend a few dollars more, but I would explain it in a really powerful listing conversation, better visuals, better pictures, you know, where I'd also, one of the things I would tell a high-end listing is that, you know, I market to high-end areas. So, for example, you know, maybe you're a member of the, you know, country club. If you're not a member, you would actually communicate with the country club members, here's this property. The other thing is that you would do what's called target marketing. And here's how that works. When you have a high-end property, let's say you got your million-dollar property, well, who is the buyer of a million-dollar property? Well, it's usually the person who owns the $500,000-$600,000 property. And so I would explain to the homeowner, it's called target marketing, that what we do is we take your property information and we zero in on that move-up buyer. There's subdivisions in our market, those $500,000-$600,000 properties. What we do is we actually do a mailing campaign and a calling campaign to that neighborhood because that's where your buyer is going to come from. First of all, most agents don't think this way. When you say that to a homeowner, they're like, wow, you know your stuff. That makes sense. I will tell you the side benefit when you do target marketing like that is those $500,000-$600,000 people, they could be a listing for you. So by you promoting to that neighborhood that's where you get your $600,000 properties about this property, not only are you going to maybe sell the million-dollar property, but you may most likely pick up the listing on the $600,000 buyer. So, Connie, that's my answer for you. Let me go to the next question. Tammy Barna, are you on the call? Tammy Barnett, if you are, I want you to hit star 6 on your keypad. This one's going to be a this is going to upset some people, the advice I'm going to give on this one. And then Wayne, I'm going to ask you, Wayne, and then we got Jay. But Tammy, are you on the call? Tammy Barna, Elliot Barna? No? Okay, wow. All right, so just reminding everybody, you hit star 7 to unmute yourself. I see you're on the call, Jay. I'm saving you for the end because you're the best. Okay, Tammy, here's Tammy's question, everybody. This is going to be a problem. You're not going to like my answer what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Gang, Tammy, here's what her question is. She said she has a home that was on the market for $239. It was listed for 10 days, very little activity. She had a buyer who put in an offer. The offer was $239, full price offer, with $150,000 down. Whoa, huge down payment, small mortgage. They submitted it. The homeowner came back with a counteroffer for $245. So they got a full-price offer, and the homeowner, greed kicked in and said, well, we changed our price to $245, so now you got to pay $245. Here's how – and so the question is, how do you deal with this? Well, unfortunately, there's Tammy who asked the question. She's on the buyer side. And she had to deal with a listing agent. And from the email, it sounded like she gave the offer to the listing agent. The listing agent presented it for Tammy. Now, gang, if any of you have been with me in the live training, I have told you that when you are on the buyer's side, you write an offer. You must present the offer directly yourself to the homeowner. When you don't do that, stuff like this happens. Now, for those of you that have not heard my training on how to present offers, I know what you're going to say right now if the call was unmuted. You would say, Daryl, that's not how we do it on a market. Daryl, that's not part of our rules and regs or whatever you want to tell me. And I don't have time to teach this, so I'm not. I'm going to just be very forceful, and you have to trust me. That I don't care how it's done in your market. There is a way to cooperate with the listing agent respectfully, where the listing agent must let the selling agent in to present the offer face-to-face to the homeowner. I'm not going to teach how to do that now because I would need a good 30 minutes to teach it correctly. You have to trust me. There is a way to do it. If you have my audio programs, Tammy, if you have – I talk about how to do this on the Win-Win Negotiating CD. On the Win-Win Negotiating CD, that is over 2.5 hours on how to present offers the right way. Any of the Power Agents on the call, when you log into the Power Agent program, there is a somewhere on there where you can get special pricing, and actually I'm not sure where it is. Let me see, classroom. I'll see if I can find it. There it is. If you go into classroom. Under classroom, it says Power Agent Learning Specials. And let me just see if it's even on there. Maybe I misspoke. It may not be on there, Win-Win Negotiating. No, it's not on there. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Is anybody that wants to get the CD that doesn't have the CD, just email me, and I'll take care of you, all right? My email is daryl@darylspeaks.com. A lot of you have my audio stuff. You have the Power Pro. You've taken sure results with me, so you know how it works. And if you don't, maybe I'll teach it again next month on the conference call. But that's the first thing. You must present the offer in person. Number two, here's the part you're not going to like. Please don't get upset with me, gang. I'm just educating you. I'm just making a statement. And don't run with this. Legally, technically, we are in the service industry. What that means legally is that once we have successfully brought a buyer to a seller, and that buyer is ready, willing, and able to purchase the property, technically, legally, we have actually earned our commission. We do not earn commission at closing. We defer our commission to closing. We earn our commission even before contract. If a homeowner says, hey, I'm selling my house, I'm selling it for $240,000. if you bring me a buyer who's ready, willing, and able to buy my house at $240,000, I will pay you an agreed amount commission. Once we have done that, gang, we have successfully accomplished our agreement, and our commission is due. We waive our commission to closing. What happened here with this homeowner who's an investor, he said, I'm selling my house for $240,000. We bring him an offer of $240,000. He says, nah, you know what? Because I got $240,000, now I want $245,000. Me, technically, and I'm from New York, and because he's an investor, this is what I would do. I'd say, well, I legally have accomplished what you asked me to do. Now you want to be greedy. That's fine, but you still owe me a commission. If he doesn't pay the commission, you can technically put a mechanic's lien on the property, which means that if he, when he does sell it, he cannot close on it until he has satisfied the mechanic's lien. I know that sounds very aggressive. That sounds very harsh, and I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm just letting you know that you probably can do that, because that is the law of the land for real estate salespeople. Now, I would not say this if it was a regular homeowner. The fact that this is an investor and he's being a jerk, I'd have to be a jerk back. So that's my advice, Tammy. Okay, moving on. Wayne Hyatt, are you on the call? If you are, please unmute yourself by hitting *71 times.
Yes.
There you are. Hey, how you doing, Wayne?
Good morning. Good.
Good morning. And Jay, you're up next. Jay Mankus from Long Island. Wayne, go ahead. Ask your question, buddy. Great question, and I'm excited to talk to you.
Okay. I was listening to the CDs on objection handling and metaphors,
yes, sir,
and analogies.
Yeah.
And you said to wait till the end to handle the objections. And then you gave an example,
yeah,
of an objection that was presented in the middle, and you said, go ahead and take that in the middle and answer it, get the listing, and then get out of there. How do you know,
yeah,
when to answer the objection in the middle and not push it to the end?
Yeah,
or
great, great question. Well, let me first ask you, Wayne. So you're listening to the library of stories, metaphors, analogies. What do you think of that whole CD set? Do you like it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, getting a lot out of it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. So thank you for that. Yeah, people tell me that is their favorite. And so a couple of things.
Well, my
and
favorite
I just want to
would
read
be the attitude to the top producer.
Oh, really? You like that one? That's your favorite?
Yeah, that was excellent.
Thank you so much. You know, I recorded that one at the NAR convention in New Orleans. And I think that was the second or third year that I taught that same seminar. They kept having me teach it every year because people liked it. So I'm glad that's your favorite. And I remember that seminar. It was a lot of fun. Okay, back to your question. And I want to make sure that people are clear about your question. So I'm going to teach a little bit of what you heard so to bring everybody up to speed. So when you're on a listing appointment and you're at the beginning of your listing or even in the middle, if a homeowner throws out an objection at you, you want to try and not deal with it until the end of the listing appointment, because there's a good chance by the time you're finished with your listing appointment that objection will go away. Now, there are exceptions to that. And your question is, how do you know when it's the exception? Well, there's two things, Wayne, and it's a great question. First of all, it's a certain level of instinct. The more listing appointments you go on, the better instinct you develop, whether you should handle that objection as soon as it comes up, or if you should shelve it to the end because it may go away. So part of that's an instinct thing. There is something about sales. And Wayne, I'll tell you, when I was in, I'm going to use an analogy to cover what I'm saying. When I was in Hawaii many years ago, I wish I can go back soon, went with my family, my son, and while we were there, and I was the keynote speaker for the convention, the realtors, I decided to go surfing, and that was fun to watch because, you know, I'm a big boy, and it was not easy. But anyway, the guy's trying to teach me how to get up on the board, and as much as he tried to teach me the mechanics of going from a laying down position on the board to the standing up, as much as he gives me the mechanics, there's an instinct that one develops the more you do it. The same is true here about a listing appointment. Now, I'm going to help improve your instincts quickly. There's two types of questions. Wayne, are you married or have you been married?
Married.
Okay. Do you know how sometimes your wife asks you a question, but she's really not asking you a question? She's making a statement, and it's disguised as a question. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Every relationship does that. You know, if our spouse or our significant other, they're kind of annoyed about something, and they want to make a point about what they're annoyed about, they'll ask the question. You know, did you, whatever the question is, but it's really not a question. They're making a statement. So they're not honestly, authentically asking us a question. The same is true when it comes to an objection. Sometimes a homeowner, at the beginning or middle of a listing appointment, they're going to throw an objection at you, and they're not committed to listing with you. They're committed to derailing you. So that objection, where you can sense they're not with you, they're trying to end the listing appointment through the objection, those are the ones you shelve. Because if you answer it, it's going to be a battle of wits. Now, sometimes they'll ask you a question that sounds like an objection, but it's more of a concern. Let me distinguish what I mean by concern. You can sense that they're committed a little bit to possibly working with you, but they have this major concern, like, but maybe I can do it still and save some money. Maybe, I don't want all my neighbors knowing about my house for sale. That's why we did it this way, because you put a sign and people coming through. I don't want my neighbors to know yet. In other words, you can sense that they're not trying to blow you off. They see some value here, but this is a real concern that they have. Those you could answer when they come up. Because there's a commitment there to maybe working, and they just have this roadblock that they need you to help them through. Did that make sense, Wayne, what I just
said? Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the other questions I had is, how do you push those objections to the end gracefully and not just ignore them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, once again, if the objection comes up and it seems more of a concern than an objection, where you got a sense that they're closer to working with you, well, like we said, that you'll just handle when it comes up. When you feel that they're trying to get you out the door, that's an even tougher way to answer that one, because it depends on where they are in the conversation where they're trying to throw you off. So, for example, I'm just going to give it for example. If you sit down after you've toured the house, and how I teach it is you tour the house first. When you get into the house, you put your listing stuff on the kitchen table. You tour the house. You do a little oohs and ahs. You build a relationship. You get excited, feel honored. They're showing you their home, not a house, their home. Connect to the home. Connect to the memories. Then you come back to the kitchen table and say, let me just ask you a couple questions. Where you moved to, why there, when did you get there, by what would happen to your plans if it didn't sell? And the final question, the segue question, if I can help you get to Florida with the money you need to make the move to success, is that something you'd be interested in? Yeah, maybe, we think maybe we should still do it on our own. Let me share something with you about myself. I think it's important you understand. And then I start talking about my credibility, then about my company. And if they then, let's say, as an example, Wayne, they say, well, how much commission do you charge? Because you know what? We think we can do this on our own, and that's why we did it, because we don't want to pay a lot of money. In other words, Wayne, I can sense they haven't bought into me yet, and they're asking a commission question. I ain't going to handle it now because they're not even bought into me emotionally. Are you with me so far in the example, Wayne?
Yeah.
All right. So in that case, I might say, because I need to shelve it, like you just asked me, I'd say, well, Wayne, you know what? As far as the commission, that question, it really is dependent on a few things. See, my commission is flexible. We use it as a marketing tool. It depends on a few things. For example, for some of my homeowners that want to sell in the next 30 days, the answer is different than if somebody says, I'm in no hurry, we can do 6 months. So depending on the market that we do. So, Wayne, just let me share with you what I'm talking about. You see, one of the things that we do to get a property sold, now, Wayne, what I just did there, I am back on track was what I'm about to say about how I market properties. So
got
I
it.
Kind of answered, shelved it, and I'm trying to use the next page in my book to kind of be the segue from the question they just answered. Did that make sense, Wayne?
Sure, that makes sense.
All right, now, Wayne, pay attention to the time here. It's 55 minutes into this call. When we post this recording on the website, you can hear me go through that dissertation again, listen to it again if it'll help you, all right?
Yes.
Great question, Wayne. Thank you so much. Jay, you
are
on the call. Yeah, you're welcome, Wayne. Jay, I want you to unmute yourself. There you are. How's
welcome
going,
home.
Jay?
We missed you.
I miss you guys. All right. Well, listen, you had a great question. Why don't you ask it for everybody, and then I'll tell you what my thoughts are.
I think it follows on Wayne's question, which is I managed to get to the end of the thing. What price are you going to sell this thing for, and what are you going to charge? And, you know, otherwise it was a good meeting. And a week later, well, another agent said he'd get me more. And I've heard from other agents who said, if you don't hire me, I don't give you that price or commission because, you know, why would I? But when they asked me that question, I want to see their reaction. And, of course, my answer is it depends. You can start high and we lower it every week, or you can start low and have a bidding war. So, you know, it's within a general band of reasonableness, but I want to see how reasonable they are. Is there a way just, hey, if you don't hire me, I'm not going to talk about that, but it seems hard for me to
do. No, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, but there is a concept there that people are saying. And, gang, we've got 5 minutes left on the call. I'm going to try and answer this completely in 5 minutes. I want you all to stay with me, though, because if I go over just 1 or 2 minutes, this is a very important and great question that Jay's asking. That's why I saved it to the end. Because when a homeowner asks you about, well, how much commission do you charge, or, you know, what price are you going to list it for, gang, it's very important that you see those questions as a red flag. And the red flag, Jay, is that maybe these people are making a decision on their realtor based on the price and what they charge and not based on their skill.
Right.
And so when they ask that question, Jay, you've got to, before you answer, you've got a sense, you've got to have that instinct, are these people price shopping? Because if they are and you answer it, you're not going to get the listing because somebody will come in and give them a better price. So you need to have a coaching conversation with them, say, you know, Mr. – you know, let me do it with you, Jay. You know, Jay, of course that's an important question about, you know, what should we list it for or what do I charge? But let me first ask you this. Based on everything that I've showed you about me, my company, how I do what I do, putting price and commission to the side, do you feel like it's better to work with me than any other agent in the marketplace? And if, Jay, they come back with, well, yes, Jay, but it depends on what you charge. then you're still got a problem. They're still price shopping. And what a homeowner has to understand is they shouldn't be shopping for a realtor based on price, but based on the skill of the agent to market. Now, a couple of analogies. For example, if you had to have brain surgery done, would you shop for your brain surgeon based on what they charge or based on their skill and their ability? Of course you're going to do that with skill and ability, and the same is true here about the house. If you think, Jay, that based on our couple hours together, you don't feel I'm the best skilled agent to hire me, then you shouldn't hire me. Forget about what I tell you on price. I wouldn't want you to hire me because the agent has nothing to do with the price. What determines the price is the market. Let me give you another example of that. Let's say that I'm trying to be your financial planner. And I want to be manage your finances, and I'm going to make it investments for you. You're going to give me your money. I'm going to charge a brokerage fee, and I'm going to take your money, and I'm going to make investments for you into mutual funds and everything else. I can't guarantee you, Jay, hey, this is the price I'm going to get back to you on your investment. The market determines what kind of return you're going to get, just like on your house. I can't guarantee what your house is going to sell for. The market determines that. What I can guarantee is whether you trust me or not, that I am the best skilled to manage your stocks and your portfolio. So in hiring a stockbroker, you don't shop based on the fees they charge or some kind of guarantee because, as a matter of fact, if a stockbroker guaranteed you, you ever watch American Greed on CNBC? Anybody that guarantees you're going to get a return on your investment, those are the people you shouldn't hire. because there's no way that anybody can guarantee what a return on any kind of stock or investment is, just like in real estate. No agent can guarantee this is what your house is going to sell for, and if they do, that's the one I wouldn't hire. So I go back to the question, do you trust me to be your real estate stockbroker to manage your most important asset, your home? And if you don't, you shouldn't hire me. Keep shopping. Do you hear what I just did, Jay?
Yeah, it's great.
So I suggest, Jay, why you lost that listing to that agent is because that homeowner hired based on fees and guarantees and not based on your skill. So from now on, when you come to that point in the conversation that always happens on a listing appointment, which when the homeowner asks you, how much commission are you charging or how much price should we put it on the market for, make sure you listen. If they are honestly hired you mentally and they just want to know as a team, what are we going to do? Or if they're asking you because they're price shopping. And if they are, you need to clarify it, and then you need to coach them on that, how wrong that is and not to do it before you give them your price and your fee. Did that help you, Jay?
Very helpful. As always, thank you so much.
Always here for you, Jazz. I appreciate your participation. I love you. You're a great guy. All right, gang. So listen, we have come to the end of our call, and I hope this was helpful. As you can tell, when you guys email me questions ahead of time, you have a better shot in getting in the front of the call. So please, before you get off the phone right now, if you have any questions, email it to me, and I will cover it in 2 weeks. Our next call is only in 2 weeks, so don't get frustrated if I didn't get to the open call this time. But that'll put you at the head of the queue. Last thing I want to remind you of, gang, is to please take the time to create memories with your family during the holidays. Take a step back. Slow down. It's okay. Don't feel guilty. Don't beat yourself up. Work on your business, though, if there's something that you've been meaning to do for the last 12 months. And that's it. So, listen, God bless everybody on the call. I love you guys for your commitment to excellence and wanting to bring your business to the next level. I really mean that. It means a lot to me that you are here on the playing field with me to improve your business. God bless you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I will talk to you guys next year. All right. Take care now. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.